Manuscript Releases, Volume 2, Numbers 97 to 161. MR Number 136. Maintain unity, hold fast to the truth, not all to prophecy, study the testimonies. Release requested by A.L. White for use in correspondence and in teaching. No advice or sanction is given in the Word of God to those who believe the third angel's message to lead them to suppose that they can draw apart. This you may settle with yourselves forever. It is the devisings of unsanctified minds that would encourage a state of disunion. The sophistry of men may appear right in their own eyes, but it is not truth and righteousness. In Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. Ephesians 2, verse 13 to 16. Christ is the uniting link in the golden chain which binds believers together in God. There must be no separating in this great testing time. The people of God are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Verses 19-20. The children of God constitute one united whole in Christ, who presents his cross as the center of attraction. All who believe are one in him. Human feelings will lead men to take the work into their own hands, and the building thus becomes disproportionate. The Lord therefore employs a variety of gifts to make the building symmetrical. Not one feature of the truth is to be hidden or made of little account. God cannot be glorified unless the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. A great subject is here comprehended, and those who understand the truth for this time must take heed how they hear and how they build and educate others to practice. The word of the Lord has guided our steps since the passing of the time in 1844. We have searched the Scriptures, we have built solidly, and we have not had to tear up our foundations and put in new timbers. There is always safety in presenting a Thus saith the Lord. We must put our trust in a Thus saith the Lord and be well established in the faith. Ever since going to the Berrien Springs meeting, 1904, my work has been continuous and taxing. While there, I saw that which we shall have to meet in the future. The only way in which we can advance in our work is in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The book that contains the will of God concerning us is in our hands. A blessed unity will be enjoyed by those who are indeed children of God. They will not, by their words and acts, lead anyone to doubt in regard to the distinct personality of God, or in regard to the sanctuary and its ministry. We all need to keep the subject of the sanctuary in mind. God forbid that the clatter of words coming from human lips should lessen the belief of our people in the truth that there is a sanctuary in heaven, and that a pattern of this sanctuary was once built on this earth. God desires his people to become familiar with this pattern, keeping ever before their minds the heavenly sanctuary, where God is all and in all. We must keep our minds braced by prayer and a study of God's Word, that we may grasp these truths. Do not allow your mind to wander from the main points of the truth for this time, to grasp unimportant theories and problems. If anyone gives you unessential problems to solve, tell him that God has placed in your hands a work to be done. Tell him that you are doing a great work and cannot come down to try to solve the problem of the dayline. You have the message for this time, the third angel's message, to give to the people. This is your work. Hold the beginning of your confidence firm unto the end. The truth is to be repeated, line upon line, precept upon precept. We have neither meat nor butter on our table, and we have but two meals a day. If any of my workers desire a simple meal in the evening, I do not have anything to say against it. From time to time, reports come to me concerning statements that Sister White is said to have made, but which are entirely new to me, and which cannot fail to mislead the people as to my real views and teaching. A sister, in a letter to her friends, speaks with much enthusiasm of a statement by Brother Jones that Sister White has seen that the time has come when, if we hold the right relation to God, all can have the gift of prophecy to the same extent as do those who are now having visions. Where is the authority for this statement? I must believe that the sister failed to understand Brother Jones, for I cannot think that he made the statement. The writer continues, Brother Jones said last night that is the case, not that God will speak to all for the benefit of everyone else, but to each for his own benefit, and this will fulfill the prophecy of Joel. He stated that this is already being developed in numerous instances. He spoke as if he thought none would hold such a leading position as Sister White had done and will still do. Referred to Moses as a parallel. He was a leader, but many others are referred to as prophesying, though their prophecies are not published. He, Brother Jones, will not give permission to have the matter copied for general circulation that has been read here from some sister. These ideas in relation to prophesying, I do not hesitate to say, might better never have been expressed. Such statements prepare the way for a state of things that Satan will surely take advantage of to bring in spurious exercises. There is danger, not only that unbalanced minds will be led into fanaticism, but that designing persons will take advantage of this excitement to further their own selfish purposes. Jesus has raised his voice in warning. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. If any man shall say to you, Lo, here is Christ, or Lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall arise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. Mark 13, verse 21 to 23. As God's medical missionaries, our work is to lead all into the path of hope and courage and helpfulness. Thus we are to make our words and actions Christ-like. We are to be actuated by the unselfish motives that lead men to make straight paths for their feet, lest the lame shall be turned out of the way. The Holy Ghost is the author of the Scriptures and of the Spirit of prophecy. These are not to be twisted and turned to mean what man may want them to mean, to carry out man's ideas and sentiments, to carry forward man's schemes at all hazards. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall with feigned words make merchandise of you. 2 Peter 2, verse 2. We must stand as vigilant soldiers, guarding against the entrance of one wrong principle. The great apostle had many visions. The Lord showed him many things that it is not lawful for a man to utter. Why could he not tell the believers what he had seen? Because they would have made a misapplication of the great truths presented. They would not have been able to comprehend these truths. And yet all that was shown to Paul molded the messages that God gave him to bear to the churches. I write this, for I dare not withhold it. You are far from doing the will of God, far from Jesus, far from heaven. It is no marvel to me that God has not blessed your labors. You may say God has not given Sister White a vision in my case. Why, then, does she write as she does? I have seen the cases of others who, like you, are neglecting their duties. I have seen many things in your case in your past experience. And when I enter a family and see a course pursued that God has reproved and condemned, I am in grief and distress, whether the special sins have been shown me or the sins of another who has neglected similar duties. I know whereof I speak. I feel deeply over the matter. I say then, for Christ's sake, make haste to come on the right ground and harness up for the battle. You may blame me for not reading your package of writings. I did not read them. Neither did I read the letters that Dr. Kellogg sent. I had a message of stern rebuke for the publishing house, and I knew that if I read the communications sent to me, later on, when the testimony came out, you and Dr. Kellogg would be tempted to say, I gave her that inspiration. In a vision last night, I saw you writing. One looked over your shoulder and said, you, my friend, are in danger. Let me tell you of a scene that I witnessed while in Oakland. Angels, clothed with beautiful garments, like angels of light, were escorting Dr. Kellogg from place to place and inspiring him to speak words of pompous boasting that were offensive to God. Soon after the Oakland conference, in the night season, the Lord portrayed before me a scene in which Satan, clothed in a most attractive disguise, was earnestly pressing close to the side of Dr. Kellogg. I saw and heard much. Night after night, I was bowed down in agony of soul as I saw this personage talking with our brother. In Oakland, there was spread before me a long, lawyer-framed document filled with technicalities, which document was a copy of the conditions under which the sanitarium issued bonds. The provisions of this bond issue were such that money gathered in from all parts of the country is tied up in the medical institution at Battle Creek for a long period of time. I am instructed to say to our churches, study the testimonies. They are written for our admonition and encouragement upon whom the ends of the world are come. If God's people will not study these messages that are sent to them from time to time, they are guilty of rejecting light. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, God is sending instruction to His people. Heed the instruction. Follow the light. The Lord has a controversy with His people because in the past they have not heeded His instruction and followed His guidance. I have been reading Volume 6 of the Testimonies, and I find in this little book instruction that will help us to meet many perplexing questions. How many have read the article, Evangelistic Work, in this volume? I advise that these directions and warnings and cautions be read to our people at some time when they are gathered together. By far too small a portion of our people are in possession of these books. We receive many letters from our brethren and sisters asking for advice on a great variety of subjects. If they would study the published testimonies for themselves, they would find the enlightenment they need. Let us urge our people to study these books and circulate them. Let their teachings strengthen our faith. Let us study more diligently the Word of God. The Bible is so plain and clear that all who will may understand. Let us thank the Lord for His precious Word and for the messages of His Spirit that give so much light. I am instructed that the more we study the Old and New Testaments, the more we shall have impressed on our mind the fact that each sustains a very close relation to the other, and the more evidence we shall receive of their divine inspiration. We shall see clearly that they have but one author. The study of these precious volumes will teach us how to form characters that will reveal the attributes of Christ. Released February 16, 1962.